would love to welcome everyone to this week's Citizens Climate Training Program. It's a weekly webinar of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics related to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host tonight, Brett Cease, and we are going to be focusing on CCL's diversity and inclusion updates as we enter into the second quarter of 2024. We're joined here by none other than the amazing Karina Ramirez, CCL's Diversity and Inclusion Director, for a training that will provide an update on all of the diversity and inclusion initiatives that CCL has been up to in the past year with our programming. So you are in for a real treat. And with that, I will actually pass it to my colleague and dear friend, Karina, to introduce themselves.
Thanks so much, Brett. It is a pleasure to join everybody tonight. As you know, I usually do a little bit of a personal dress presentation. This is me. I am presently in Florida. I offer respect and gratitude to the Seminole Taino Tequesta people of the land where I presently are in West Palm Beach, Florida. These are pictures of family and community and how I spent my days. I am originally from Ecuador. You see a picture of me and my daughter there, that wonderful dog there. He is my adopted dog named Dino. I spent most of my weekends with him. And the picture on the far right is a wonderful memory from the time when I was a journalist. So prior to doing this work, I used to listen to a lot of people's stories and sort of that merged into the kind of work that I'm doing now. All right. Wanted to remind everybody that it is Women's History Month, so it's a great thing to be able to talk about D&I this week. So our learning goals, I'm going to provide you with some information about what is diversity and inclusion. I'm going to do a little bit of review of what happened in 2023, and I'm going to share some of the activities that have taken place this year and also provide you with access to a lot of our resources. All right, so let's explain what D&I is. You're going to hear D&I for short all the time. It is diversity and inclusion. The way that I like to describe it is just it's the place where we talk about how to get different people and different communities to come and join us at CCL. So you're going to see graphics like the one on the right talking about inclusion and equity and belonging and diversity. And all that really is just we are building a community here at CCL. And we want that community to be centered around communication, collaboration, and relationships. And how do we go about doing that? And one way that I like to describe my work, to just make everything as simple as I can, is to basically say, you know, I am the conductor here, and I am helping humans connect with other humans. One way to look at this work is that it's very intersectional. And you're going to see many charts like this. It depends on what kind of work people are engaged in. Climate work touches everything. Climate justice scholars and activists have long said that climate change is not just an environmental issue, but it's also a social crisis and where everything touches each other. So you're going to see a lot of this and a lot of the conversation that we have. And it's been a challenge to be able to find a chart that mentions political ideology. We like to say here at CCL that we're probably one of the few organizations that actually has diversity of political thought, right? Based on the work that we do. But it touches, again, a lot of things. And these are some of the topics that you might see as we talk about this work. Okay, so let me give you a review of some of the things that took place in 2023. I divide my work in three different areas. I cater to the volunteers, I cater to the staff, and I cater overall to our organization. So things that took place for volunteers last year, we are tracking all of the work that you see, every single workshop, every single presentation, what kind of communities are being presented there, what ideas are being presented there. Most of these are educational workshops that are now taking place over in the Diversity and Inclusion Action Team. Last year, I shared the space with coworkers, and we were talking a lot about inclusivity and what does that mean. And it was taking place at three different events at CCL, one of them being the Southeast Regional Conference, the June Conference, and again, the D&I Action Team. And the goal of all of what we had planned for last year was to increase the volunteer leadership. That was the goal that we set as an organization. Level of work for the staff, I am looking at, what is it that we provide anybody that comes in, who what happens with the folks that are already here. So one of the things that we added last year was a diversity statement to all of our job listings, which was a good thing to have for anyone that's considering joining us and being part of this community. We also launched our staff training. So anyone that wanted to learn something different about diversity and inclusion, we had 17 of our coworkers take those trainings last year. And we also started looking at legislative bills, right? What are some legislative bills that could deal with diversity and inclusion topics? And one that got referenced to us by the differently abled action team was the Ready Act, which what you saw last year, it was actually one of our secondary items as part of our lobby day during the June conference. So it was a big deal to be able to introduce that and present that to volunteers. And across the organization, we launched our secondary survey. So as this work grows, you're going to see a lot of that. And it's for some people, it's going to be like, oh, you're asking a lot of questions, but we are trying to identify the different communities that are joining us. So we launched a secondary survey, and that one last year was focused on language and identity and accommodations because we're trying to find out how many of our members self-identify as someone with a disability. And we want to be able to cater for that, not only for our events, but for our conferences. And part of my work is also trying to answer to different requests. So Green 2.0, in case you don't know, is a nonprofit that sort of looks at diversity work across all the environmental organizations. And they launched something called a transparency report card. We had been participating in that report card for the last 3 years, and we joined other environmental organizations that are doing the same. And what you see in that report card is basically our diversity data that we present to everybody that sort of, wants to know, like, how many people of color do you have at CCL and things of the sort. It asks for a lot of questions, and we're so glad to be able to participate. And we're actually working to be able to gather data for this year's report card. More of the work that comes out of the D&I area, these what we call our inclusion initiatives. So if you see any of this, it's connected with the work that I'm supporting with volunteers. So the race, climate, and culture conversations is something that started in our area. We're going to have two this year. I ask volunteers, anyone who's interested in supporting this work on a regional level, they can participate with me and become a community ambassador. We offer fellowships. This year we have two fellows. We also offer Spanish language informational sessions that we do on a quarterly basis. I actually support any type of work that deals with interpretation. So we have American Sign Language that we started in 2022, and we are looking into trying to bring that service back to the organization. And we still continue with Spanish language interpretation that you might see during a Saturday call. And again, the inclusion workshops is the educational programs that are taking place right now inside the Diversity and Inclusion Action Team. Glimmers. If you hear that word glimmers, it's just things that make you happy. So these are things that made me happy last year. One of them was our inclusion conference. We hosted one, the second one last year, and this is the one that is created by volunteers. From different affinity teams. Last year was very special because it was the first time that we picked a topic centered on the Pacifics. We had people attend live, 218 people, 524 other people registered for it. We had a good show rate, which was really good. And it made me appreciate the importance of time zones because we had people as far as Australia connected to our conference and to be able to participate and share their expertise. So this is our event that we host every September, and we are planning for the third one. So every year we actually do create a playlist. It is something that we go and we ask around all the volunteers to submit a song that speaks to them. It's actually really a creative way to talk about culture in this way. Some songs are actually centered around climate. Others are just culturally rooted, so it's really good to be able to listen to how people express themselves, and that is the reason why we create the playlist every year. All right. So, because of all this work, I try to summarize it. So, I create a D&I report that is available for everybody to read. Last year was our third report. It provides a lot more details of some of the things that I'm sharing tonight. It was the first time that we actually tried to gather information from all our different coworkers. So we divided it by department, communication, strategy, CCO, radio, and we're like asking, like, hey, how are you embedding diversity and inclusion work in your department? So we are beginning to track that. It's such a great thing to be able to see how this work is showing up in the different areas across the organization. And it is something in progress. So there is a list of, what are some things that we're still working on. And like every year, I actually have a wish list that I provide to Brett and to all of the senior coworkers so they can see, like, hey, this is where I'm thinking. This is one of the things that I would like to be able to provide to people as we do this work. Okay, so some of the things that were in progress or we're still working on. As you know, we had a reduced budget in 2023, so that did impact what we were able to offer. ASO interpretation got postponed in the second half of the year. We stopped Spanish language translations. We still have a translator, and that impacted a lot of the things that we were able to offer when it came to our blogs and maybe Spanish language press releases and things of the sort. And it also meant that it was, less time that I could spend supporting the affinity teams and social media and other programming that is coming from the area. So right now I am the only D&I officer. And like a lot of the coworkers, we felt that change. It was impactful for what we wanted to achieve. I like to remain very honest in the work that I do. So these are the numbers, right? 5 out of my 43 coworkers identify as a person of color. And we have continued challenges when it comes to data collection. It is a thing that, again, changes the more volunteers are asking for details. So the conversation that's taking place often is, how do we track that? How do we ask a certain question? How do we explain to everybody that what we want to do is to become more inclusive? And it's not about separating people, right? In the conversations that you have seen that I've had with Drew, right? Him and I are constantly talking about, like, okay, how can we be more inclusive and how can we track this work? And data is so incredibly essential, so that we know where we can devote more services and provide more support. And one of the things that we started last year, as I mentioned, volunteer leadership. We'd look at where our volunteers contributing their time. One of the things that we haven't done as yet, for example, is looking at action team leaders, right? We have so many action teams that all of those people are doing a particular function. But when it comes to the volunteer leadership numbers, they're not counting right now, but they will in the future. So it's, again, it's a work in progress of things that we identify as volunteers, other coworkers, and even communities. We talk about the work that we do, and we're looking at different things every single time. This is what our volunteer leadership looked like in 2023. Again, it's a priority that we have as an organization, and it's something that we continue this year in 2024. One of the we have the biggest increase, of course, in the youth area. So we have three different areas that we're tracking, which is youth, conservatives, and Black, Indigenous, and people of color. So you see an increase in both youth and the BIPOC community. And we are hoping to continue to increase and foster more community and relationships and hopefully inspire more people to take on those leadership positions inside the organization. What is new for us? So we made a big deal about this last July. During the June conference, we began to announce that we were going to launch a new affinity team. The Diversity and Inclusion Action Team is the 10th affinity team. We started it with the purpose of creating a space for more education. And this is education for everybody, regardless of what you're bringing into the organization. We wanted a space where we can all learn together, where we can ask different questions. And it's becoming a very fun space to be in, right? Because people are constantly asking for different things and we're trying to answer. the questions that our volunteers are putting forward. So we meet the fourth Monday of the month at 8 o'clock Eastern, and we're there talking about diversity initiatives, and we hopefully bring more speakers in the future. And it's just a way to be able to talk about D&I on a monthly basis. Because of this team, we relaunched our D&I newsletter that is now available on a monthly basis. It's a way, again, to share stories that we are coming across. Highlight people, like that's one of our goals for this year, to be able to highlight volunteers that are doing different diversity work across the organization, and just, again, provide more information. These are some of the topics that we have tackled. Last year, and by the way, just so that everybody is aware, when we have diversity and inclusion workshops or meetings, we try not to host them at the same times at the race and culture conversation, because they take a lot of time, and we just want to make sure that when you concentrate, you can concentrate on the event that we're putting before you. So in 2023, these were the topics that volunteers wanted to learn more about. So we started with D&I basics, and we talked about microaggressions, and Drew and I got together and we said to each other, hey, you know, those conversations we have about our differences, let's turn that into a workshop. And that's where the Understanding What You Do Not Understand series is coming. It's a great conversation. It started last August. We continued on this month. We actually hosted a version of that. And we're going to do more conversations like that for the June conference and for later on this year. Something else people wanted to know about was land acknowledgement. Like, why are we using them? What's the purpose of them? So those were the first four workshops in 2023. And this year we continue with solidarity, talking about the meaning of solidarity. This month we hosted a session on chapter inclusion. Next month we're going back to microaggressions because people wanted to have a second part of that. So we're working on that program for this month, next month. And then we have language justice, disability inclusion, and climate in the LGBTQIA community. These topics are not set in stone every single time. So, you know, they can change, but these are the things that volunteers have requested. And some of it comes from conversations that I'm having with people, with staff members, with other volunteers. I have an inclusion team, which I'll tell you about in a bit, and I'm answering requests. So, you know, that's why I'm constantly going to be asking for your feedback. What do you want to learn more about? And we'll go and we'll create a workshop for you. This is the inclusion team. Everybody here is a volunteer with the exception of our fellows. Our fellows actually get a stipend and they spend a year with us. They help us create a lot of the workshop. They help us with data research, with stories, and anything that we want to do related to diversity and inclusion. But every single volunteer here, they come from different areas. So we take this seriously. It's almost like a job interview when I talk to anyone who wants to join our team. And this is our way for me to surround myself with people that come from different mindsets, different ages. And we help each other bounce ideas. So everything that you see is coming, a lot of it, from this team. And we know we try to answer questions, not only for the organization, but for the volunteers, but also, you know, create community. And how do we do that? I like to, you know, just because I do this work doesn't mean that I know how every single community express themselves, how every single community can respond to a particular question. So this is why I try to surround myself with people that come from different points of thoughts and ages and points of view. So, and I'm constantly looking for people. So anyone that wants to join us can do that. You can become a community ambassador. Regionally, we created a position so that you can help me talk to other chapters and other regions about diversity and inclusion. Right now we have two ambassadors. Ideally, I would like every single CCL region to be covered. So if you're interested, please send me an email and I would love to talk to you. Okay, so there's a lot. And I know that there's a lot. And you're like, oh, Karina, but you're gonna have me go do research. And I'm like, no, we have a lot of stuff for you. And these are materials that have been created with the help of volunteers and staff and other people that have been just asking about different things. We have a section on community about D&I. We have the action team. We have a trainings list if you're interested in learning different types of things. an anti-racism resource guide that got created at least 2 years back because someone wanted for us to provide that as a resource. The workshops on political inclusivity and the workshop on chapter inclusion and so much more. Like, there's so much material that is now available that I had just been grateful to be surrounded by folks that have been, wanting to answer the different questions that show up as we do this work. So my recommendations, if you want to engage in this, I'll be truthful and tell you, it is not easy, but it is needed, right? And that is the thing that I appreciate from CCL, that we have been embracing this work in the last couple of years. So I ask people to continue to foster and nurture, especially when it comes to volunteer leadership. If you are a chapter leader and feel like you may want to be with somebody else, explore the idea of co-leaderships. Try to bring someone from a different age group, from a different background to just join you as a co-leader. These are things that we need in order to continue to foster more community across the organization. This type of work, it does require some individual learning. We all come from different walks of life. We all have different experiences, but we're here for the same thing, right? There's also collective learning that comes with this work. So if you, for example, are at a diversity and inclusion workshop and there was something in there that you learned that spoke to you, I would want for you to share that information with your chapter. Maybe take 10 minutes out of your chapter meeting and share what you learned in any of those workshops. And the other thing that I have been talking a little bit more with different volunteers is, to try to create more inclusivity by creating a community statement. I am open. We are a place that is open to all different communities. We do not discriminate. And there's going to be an entire discussion about this at the next group leader call about community statements and what is the purpose of having them. Other recommendations, again, continue to support this work. There's videos, there's the action team, there's conversations that are taking place all the time. Apply the concept that you're learning personally and in your advocacy, right? Climate work, the more that we do this, the more that we learn, it provides us with a lot of information that sometimes we have not been able to process just because, you know what, there's so many things taking place. But through this education, maybe we can apply what we're learning in any kind of legislative thing that we want to put forward, right? The fact that we're now talking about volunteering is a thing that came out of having diversity and in inclusion discussions, right? That we want to be more engaged in our communities and our local cities. It has been coming from our growth through having those discussions. So I'm glad again to see that in our work. Again, this is something that is continued learning, so it doesn't end. It doesn't end for me. I am learning every day. I am answering questions every day. And this type of work is also like inviting us to listen constantly, right? And I like to think that we are listening for understanding. Sometimes we don't have to completely be having a response for everything, but we want to be able to take in the information to understand the perspectives of the other person and begin sometimes what could be a difficult conversation by offering a lending ear. We have the welcoming space resource. So creating a welcoming space. This is what we created with Drew, because from time to time we will hear certain things. And Drew and I have heard a lot in the last couple of years. And we wanted to provide just a guide. If you have a conversation with someone and you don't know how to start, this could be something for you to look into. Next steps, again, please go and look at the Welcoming Space resource. When you are having a conversation with someone, we ask that you be intentional, do everything with an open mind. Again, because we all have different perspective, points of view, is a very interesting thing to be to open ourselves up and be vulnerable and have needed conversations about what our work entails. One of the things that we've also suggested is actually including an inclusivity statement in your chapter meetings. And here, one as an example, basically in the statement, you're saying you are being open to people of different political thoughts, of different types of backgrounds. We are here for the purpose of wanting to solve climate. We are doing it in a particular way. We are doing that through climate legislation. And let us, during this meeting time, center the fact that we are all different, but we are here with the same purpose, right? Our heart is in the right place. One of the things that I said earlier this month, during our Saturday call was, let's introduce a community challenge, right? And this is my assignment to you, sort of will, for you to connect with someone in your community, in your chapter that you may not know. And you're probably curious about them. And how do you do that, right? How do you show genuine interest in someone that you don't know? And I want you to have a conversation with them, to the place where you want to meet with them. A conversation just about getting to know somebody. How are you today? How are you can open a door for so many things. And try to have a conversation to get to know the person as an individual, right? Drew and I talk about that, removing sometimes away the label, right? I am here. I want to get to know you as a person. I am so glad that you're in this space. Let's get to know each other. And what I want to know from your conversation is, how did it go? Was it opening? Was it welcoming? Did you struggle for a bit? And was your interest reciprocated? Sometimes people sometimes I'm not ready. And some of it could be like, oh, because they don't know you yet, right? And sometimes in some communities, it's like, oh, what is it that this person want? Why do they want to talk to me? But as you're going to find, as you build more community with people, that some of that is just they were afraid. And maybe something happened in their past experience with someone else. And they were like, well, I don't know how to quite treat this individual that's coming. Standing here in front of me and wanting to genuinely get to know me as a person. So I want you to take that on. And if you do, send me an email, let me know how it went. And I would love to be able to hear your stories and your experiences. And that is it. Again, if you have any questions for me or anything that you want me to answer, I hope that you send me an email. Either of these two emails will work. And I look forward to learning what you took from this presentation, what kind of activity you're engaged in. And I am happy to talk to you individually or go to your chapters. I've gone to read to Vision presentations to be able to talk about DNS. So that's all I have.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration.
Like what you hear? Recommend us to your friends and make sure to give us a 5-star rating. It helps us show up on other listeners' feeds. Feel free to pass on any suggestions for future episodes in the comments as well.
And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.